This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One. I'm Greta Mart.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from China. Come along and join me for an exploration of the Northwest Province of Shaanxi and the numerous benefits of traveling to Tibet by automobile versus aircraft or train. We'll join Jimmy Dang with Shanghai-based Spring Tours, who offers strategic insights about traveling to China.
We do tours, Tai Chi playing, Chinese medical hiking tour.
Xi'an-based tour guide Paul Su takes us to visit the exotic ibis that's indigenous to China.
At the very beginning, they only had seven. Now they have several hundreds of them here.
And Xi'an-based archaeological grad student Anna Petrovic talks about the lesser-known reaches of the Great Wall of China that's built of rammed earth rather than stone.
They're built in different styles. For example, this from Ming Dynasty is built from rammed earth, and that's why it's much more difficult to preserve it.
Jimmy Dang.
Our company is the branch of Shanghai International Travel Service, based in Shanghai. We are the largest private tour company in China. We are the only one tour company in China to own an airline, Spring Airline. We have over 80 aircrafts now, and we fly to most Asian countries like Japan, Korea.
What type of aircraft?
Airbus. So we have our branch in Diamond Bar, Los Angeles, and the company was set up in 1992. And we focus on the inbound tours from China to America, and also we have the outbound from America to China and other Asian countries.
But it's not just focused on Chinese Americans coming to China.
No. Anybody, you want to come to China and come to us? And we can do our customized tour for you. We come from China. We know China.
And it isn't just group tours. If you had a couple that wanted to come to China, you could arrange and coordinate their trip too, right?
Oh, yeah. We do tours for all kinds of people based on their request. And also we have some like other like theme tour, like the Tai Chi playing, Chinese medical learning tour.
Think a little more, some other...
So some other tours, such as the hiking tour in China, and the photograph tour, and also we have these students coming to study Chinese.
So university students?
Not only university, but also the elementary school students.
Really?
From America.
So it's a true immersion then.
Yeah, actually we just had a tour. They just finished their tour this last week. They came to China to learn to speak Chinese, and just... There are two kids, I met them, they speak very, very good Chinese.
Very interesting.
Yeah. We also have a kind of tour like, we are going to promote the bird watching tour.
Jimmy, there are bird species that a true birder has to come to China to see.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There's one place like this time we went to Hanzhong, China, the nest ibis. So that's the only one bird. And you can only see here in China, in Hanzhong, not in any other place in China or in the world. And you can see maybe in other part, only in the zoo, but here you can see they are flying in the fields.
Didn't
the
we see a couple in the river?
Yeah, we saw one, right? Yeah. We were so lucky to see that one.
Paul Su.
We're in Yangxian County, Yang, Yangxian, Xian, Yangxian County, south of this province.
This is the southern tip almost of the province, right?
Yes, yes.
Right now we're at a very special place, and this has to do with the ibis. Tell us about the ibis.
我是张璐，我在中华生态园呢担任的是讲解工作。
She said that my name is Zhang Lu. Z-H-A-N-G, Zhang, that's his surname, Lu, L-U, that's her, there is just one word in her given name. And she said, I'm the guide of this botanic park.
Tell us about what is the most important aspect of this park, what's its mission?
她说这个生态园的主要任务是什么呢?就它功能是什么呢?
我们珠环生态园呢,就是对人工...
She said this botanic park has three functions. First of all, help the ibis, the birds, to hatch. Then they would give them some elementary training before they are released into the wild. Then they would track these ibis, and if they are injured, they would be taken back for medical treatment.
The ibis, they are indigenous to China, is it true? And they're endangered?
他说这个猪环就是仅在中国，他们现在是不是也面临着一些危险呢？ She said these birds are very are protected very well in this county. At the very beginning, they only had seven. Now they have several hundreds of them here.
How many are estimated to be in China in total?
他说您估计目前猪环在中国大概有多少只啊？
总的来说，全世界只有两千多只。
There are over 2,000 of them.
But again, they are only indigenous to China. But I understand that some have been sent to Japan.
他说那个他们在这是土生土长的，是不是有些猪环被中国作为礼物送给日本了？
日本有。
Back in 1998, our then president Jiang Zemin gave two birds, the ibis, to Japan, and then they had a baby ibis, and the baby ibis had no spouse, so our then premier Zhu Rongji gave Japan another bird so they could make babies. Yeah, now Japan has over 200 ibis.
Anything else that you would like to share?
他说，您还有没有什么自己的工作经历或者知识要跟他分享一下，就关于猪环的。 The ibis is an auspicious bird.
It has
the
good luck.
Yeah, it has a red color on the crown. We like ibis very much. Yeah.
Thank you. 谢谢.
没关系.
My pleasure. Our pleasure.
Thanks again. Anna Petrovic. Anna, you're studying archaeology here in Xi'an, China, right?
Yes.
And one of your areas of fascination is the Great Wall of China.
Of course.
But tell us a little bit about the highlights, the special things about the Great Wall in your heart.
Well, first of all, I think that people, when think of Great Wall, we all think of it as one construction, like one huge continuous long wall, which is not actually the truth. First of all, Great Wall has many sections which are not connected, and it spreads through, I think, 12 provinces in China. So it's not only the far north of China, but also some southern and central parts, for example, like Sichuan and even Chongqing. And it was being built through a very long time in history. So
different sections were built at different periods of time. So it wasn't like all at once, okay, let's build this.
Of course, it would be impossible to make such a long wall at once. They didn't need all sections at all time, because the purpose of the wall was to protect people of China, or actually of all those empires which or kingdoms which are nowadays considered to be China, so to protect these people from the nomads from the north. So those nomads were sometimes at very far north, sometimes they would advance southern, and then they had to build, Chinese people had to build new partition of the wall in the south just to make it easier to defend from them.
So you and I, a couple days ago, were southern Shaanxi province, and there was rammed earth Great Wall down there.
Yeah. People, again, when they think about Great Wall, they usually think of those nice solid bricks like in Badalin near Beijing and those few different places around Beijing. But actually, this was only from one dynasty. And the first emperor of China, Qin Shi Huangdi, he was actually rebuilding the wall, and it was around 200 years BC. It means that even before his time, there were some parts of the wall, and then he was just rebuilding it just to make sure that his people is safe. So most of the wall that we saw is from the one we saw, which is in ruin, is from Ming Dynasty. So they're built in different style. Like, for example, this from Ming Dynasty is built from rammed earth, and that's why it's much more difficult to preserve it. A huge part of it is now missing. And you saw as we were traveling across the north of Shaanxi, from time to time you could see some parts of the wall or some beacon towers, some watchtowers. It's all in sections, and unfortunately it's still not being conservated. Like, it's being left to
erode away.
Yes, unfortunately.
And in history, what are the newest sections of the wall? When was the last time they were building Great Wall?
It was from maybe 19th century.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Okay. But relatively recently, then.
Yeah, because they still had to defend from the invaders from the north, and then actually the last dynasty of China was of nomadic origin, so the last dynasty didn't have to build any wall because they didn't have what to protect themselves from.
Okay. Anna, thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We do some driving safari tour.
In China?
In China, uh-huh. Driving all the way to Tibet. Imagine driving all the way to Tibet. During this tour, you don't expect the five-star hotel.
Right.
It's a very basic hotel, but the view along the way will impress you a lot.
But you have a driver, right?
Yeah, we have a driver. Yeah. We have the tour guide, and we arrange everything well for you before you come. Going to Tibet, driving in May, and along the close to the border of Tibet and Qinghai, that area, in the higher altitude, there is the largest salted lake in China, and which we call Qinghai Lake, or the many Americans call it Lake Kokono. They are also the best place to watch all kinds of migrant birds in May.
So that's very high altitude going into Tibet. The valleys are, 11,000 feet?
Yeah, you don't have to worry because you drive gradually up to from lower place to the higher place. So your body will be adjusted to the higher altitude. I've been there twice already with Americans.
And it was fine for you?
The oldest one in our group was over 80.
Wow.
She had no problem. So don't worry.
Yeah.
We just drive gradually up to the top.
You start in Chengdu?
No. Actually, Chengdu, most people fly to Chengdu and then fly to Tibet.
Oh, okay. But for car drive...
For car driving, the best easy way is to go from Xining all the way up to Lhasa, Tibet. And also the railway started from that place. But to me, I prefer driving.
But you could take the train to Tibet.
Yeah, you could take the train. Mm-hmm. The train was equipped with the oxygen.
Oh, really?
But you cannot stop.
Right.
You can only enjoy the view from the...
From the rail car.
From the car. But if you drive there, you can stop any time because on the way you can see many wild animals. That's very important. We saw the Tibetan wild antelope and the wolf, fox, and also wild horse. We can see all these kind of animals and also, of course, many birds.
When you go to Tibet, do you go to Lhasa?
Yeah. And Lhasa is the place you should not miss. It's the capital of Tibet. And after Lhasa, there are also many other places you need to go to, like Shikatsu, and also if people want to see more adventure place, you better to see the Mount Everest. That place should be your bucket list.
But I'm not climbing Mount Everest.
But you don't have to climb. You just take the car to get to that place and take a photo to show people I've been here.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy Dang, thank you so much
for
sharing.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I hope that next time we can have another tour go to Tibet or Silk Road.
Yeah.
Silk Road is the place I love so much. Mm-hmm. I've been there, you know how many times? Over 50 times.
Wow. On the Silk Road tour.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And
so that follows in the pathway of the actual Silk Road caravans.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Jimmy. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.